pictures as well. And those of us that remain, we're going to go back to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on unto perfection. Amen. So we came to the principles, we came to the doctrine, repentance, baptism, Holy Ghost. Now let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance. So much for once saved, always saved. Seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh and the rain that cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Everybody shout work. Say it again. Say it again. I don't know why the religious world feels like that. That is a cuss word to Bible thumping Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. Because work and labor and love is all a major part of serving God. Amen. Where they get it mixed up is they believe we're working for salvation. You don't work for salvation. You receive salvation as a gift from God. And after you receive salvation as a gift from God, you know what you do? You go to work. Amen. Which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, you minister and continue to minister. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said that the thorns and the briars and all of that are burned and are like a curse. What he did is he went all the way back and referred to the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve failed God. And he told Adam, he said, you would be cursed in that you will, if you get anything out of the ground to eat, you're going to have to work it. If you don't, then just naturally thorns and briars are going to grow. So once we've obtained salvation, let's push forward and strive for perfection. Amen. I don't think there's anyone here that has obtained it yet, but that's no excuse and no reason or rhyme why we shouldn't strive for it. And because if we sit dormant with what we have, it will go back to the briars and the thorns. And that's the kind of stuff that's gathered up and burned. It has to be for good things to grow in the field. Am I correct? Amen. What does it take to get briars to grow? Brother Tom, you'd be a professional at that. Yeah, just absolutely no effort at all. Just let the fallow ground go, and it'll grow those thorns. What does it take to grow a little corn, a little soybean, or a collard green, or a cabbage? Hard work and labor every time. And then you can only hope. Praise God. So we are going to finish our Bible study on the topic of faith toward God, and that we'll call it Faith Toward God Part 2. Amen. And so if you get one, get the other, and you'll have the complete Bible study. And so we're going to talk about that a little more here tonight, because we certainly need faith now more so than ever before. Every day is a new day to need greater faith. I want greater faith. How about you? Absolutely. Amen. We want to see greater things, more wonderful things, more powerful things. Praise the Lord. And so we look to that. Amen. If, and I don't mean to ramble too long here tonight or to keep you standing too long, so you may be seated. I don't have that luxury. But every one of us, as children of God, have a burden, whether it be for an individual, whether it be for a place, a city, a community, a town, a state, a nation, wherever and whatever it may be, we have a burden and we have deep passions. Amen. And I'm just telling you, when it looks like nothing can be done, God can do anything. That's faith. And that's what it takes. Not only prayer, but prayer has got to be coupled with faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And faith is not, can I just say it plain so we're not misunderstanding it? Faith is not stupid. Faith is not dumb. Faith is in its right mind. Amen. You know, I've heard people say, bless God, I'm not going to die because God won't let me die. Well, you know, hey, how do we know that? Number one, we pray the will of God. And then number two, I remember going through cancer treatments and Sister Jewel from our church was going through cancer treatments with me as well. She passed away. I lived. Was that because God loved me more? No, absolutely not. But it doesn't stop one from praying the prayer of faith and believing God anyhow. Amen. To where I know faith can move God and faith can make great things happen. You say, well, if you're going to die or you might not die or this might happen or it might not happen, and regardless, so why have faith? Because I can show you in the Word of God where faith has changed God's mind. Amen. One particular incident is where the Lord told Moses, he said, step aside, I'm going to destroy all of this. I'm sorry I even made it. I regret the day I even created a Jew. God was mad. And Moses said, Lord, he said, I just if you would just hear me out. I've seen you swallow people in the dirt, and I've seen you open the earth and close it back up on them, and I don't really want that to happen to me. I've seen you burn bushes that wouldn't go out, and I've seen you turn sticks into snakes, and I'm just, but if I could make a suggestion here, if you do that, then every nation around us is going to say that God led them out into the wilderness to perish. And I can just sense a pause in between heaven and Moses. And then the Lord came back and said, can't you take a joke? He changed his mind because Moses had faith that he could stand in for the children of Israel and God would give them another chance. And that's exactly what God did. He did. Amen. Amen. How about when the Lord sent angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And what did the man of God do? He said, if there be 50, would you spare it? The Lord said, yes. If there be 40, 30, 10, would you? Yes. Amen. The Lord stopped saying, I would spare it, when the man of God stopped praying and stopped having faith that God was going to spare it. And so faith moves God, stirs God, shakes God, gets his attention. And so we need to have great faith. Amen. And so we have passions. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people here. And one of the most heartbreaking things is when we had to walk away from the city of Lenore. You know, we had crusade We had all this. We had an untold number of people receive the Holy Ghost. Interest kept. We kept going there for a solid year afterwards, and preaching the gospel and all of that. The individual that I felt had the calling to go there did not go, and henceforth is not even in church anymore. But I'm just saying this. I continued to pray, and I continued to have faith. It got to the point that I felt like, Lord, you know, if you want me to, I can pastor both cities. And I just never felt the green light or the go about that. But I just kept praying. And then just this past week, someone contacted me and said, do you have all the names of everybody that got the Holy Ghost in Lenore and all the people that came to that crusade and all the people that y'all have contact with? Because we have a man that feels a passion and a burden, and he's going to Lenore. Bennett, he doesn't know anything about Lanier, so he'll never get it mixed up like I always do. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, that draws tears, because the Lord knows. He hears. His timing may not be our timing, but he's always right on time. Amen. So whatever it is you're having faith for, whatever it is that you're praying for, you can have seasons of doubt. You can have seasons of anxiety and fear and all of that. But never, ever drop your faith, because God is up to something. He is up to something. Praise the Lord. And so there are addendums to faith. Addendums that follow faith along with salvation. There's things that come along with that. And I want to talk about other things that can be received through faith and following Bible salvation. Amen. And so one of them is healing. Amen. I want us to look at James 5 and 15, if you would please. James 5 and 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Now, the prayer of faith shall save the sick from sickness. And if there be any sins, they shall be, future tense, they're going to be forgiven him. Because once, I'm just telling you, your faith in someone to be healed is going to cause that person that is healed to believe. And when they believe, they're going to come to the Lord. Two mighty and powerful things transpire in the scripture. Number one, they're healed of their sickness. And then they're ultimately saved. Isn't that awesome? Amen. They're not saved because you pray for them to be healed. They're saved because they were healed, and now they know there's a God, and they're going toward that God, and they will be saved. They shall be saved. Praise God. Amen. Just like the scripture says, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean you just did. It means you're going to. Right? And so it said the power of prayer and of faith shall save the sick. Amen. So, it's Bible study. Let me give you a bunch of scripture here tonight. Matthew 9 and verses 20 through 22. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem. We sang about it tonight. Touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. I like to say that she touched more than his H-E-M. She touched the H-I-M of God. She touched the flesh of God, the humanity of God. And so she was healed. She touched him. And she touched the hem. Praise God. And then Matthew 9:27 through 31, real quick, if you would. Matthew 9:27-31, because one of the great things that come along with faith and salvation is healings. Praise God. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord, we believe. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to whose faith? Your faith, be it unto you. I am at the point that I want to begin to ask God every day to build my faith. Amen. To build my faith. Amen. And so there is another step in faith that we will be blessed with as we follow Him in faith, and that is a desire to be pleasing to God. Not just to obtain, and not to, listen, that's baby stuff. And we can, I do. We all want stuff from God. A lot of times we want more stuff from Him than we give to Him. But He's God, and He can do that. He can certainly give me a whole lot more than I can give Him. But the bottom line is, sooner or later, after all His giving, we have got to develop a deep, passionate desire to give back. That's good preaching. Amen. And so, with that being said, that's one of the gifts of faith that comes along with faith. We develop a desire to simply tell the Lord, what is it that you desire from me? I'll do anything, say anything, go anywhere and be anything. Because every born-again child of God is filled with that drive to please the one who saved them from sin. It is the perfect will of God. This desire, it brings discipline to our lives, because we want to be a disciple. That's part of the word discipline, disciple. We want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to be taught by Him. Every student that is enamored by their teacher will take on the persona of the one they've been taught by. Amen. I've always been mesmerized by preachers that can just go to the pulpit and open their Bibles, and they have a subject in their mind, but there is not one note anywhere. And they deliver this absolutely life-changing message or Bible study. And they stay on point. There are other preachers that I wish that they did have those. Amen. Because you don't know what their point is. But Brother Paul Mooney is one of those guys. He can go to the pulpit and just preach. And we were at Cody's graduation, and he had a young man to come and preach that was the first graduate of IBC when it started, and actually was the only graduate that year. And he came and preached, and right there before the Lord, that boy opened his Bible and took off preaching and stayed right on point and did not have one note, because he was influenced by Brother Paulman in a great way. And so whoever we're taught by, we're enamored by them. Whoever we're disciplined and discipled by, we want to be more like them. I want to be more like Jesus. Because I can think of no greater teacher, no greater father, no greater mentor than Jesus Christ. And so what we have got to desire to do is to be absolutely, somebody shout, pleasing to Him. Praise God. Amen. And then, well, look at this. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11 and 6. What does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And then what does it say in Hebrews 11 and 5 about Enoch? Enoch had this testimony, and that is the fact that he pleased God. That was his testimony. That is all anyone could ever hope for. Amen. We got to stop this stuff. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. If I don't get this like she's got it, I quit. If I don't do this, Hey, if we can say, if every one of us could have put on our epitaph, they pleased God, what more could you ask for? Amen. And so that comes along. And then what else comes along with great faith and salvation in the Lord is, and this is a great point, and that is victory. Somebody shout victory. Somebody say hallelujah. You may be seated. Stop speaking in tongues and let me teach this thing. Praise God. Victory. That is something that every child of God should pursue, should hunger for, and should live in constantly. Amen. Lack of rent payment. Job changes. Less finances. My house burned down. A death in the family. That should affect my victory none whatsoever. Sad. Yes. Weeping? Oh, yeah. Uncertain about the times? Certainly. Again, faith is not stupid. Real things happen. But faith says, I have victory anyhow. That does not dictate to me whether I feel good about my God or not. Amen. So, our means of success in living for God, along with the conquest of besetting sins, can only come through faith. To avoid defeat in our walk with God, we've got to keep our faith strong. 1 John 5 and 4, listen to what it says. Amen. What victory will overcome the world? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that. Don't you? Praise the Lord. And so there's a lot of things that we can study pertinent to all of this. But let me just give you a couple more splinters here tonight. Amen. Another is understanding. God will help us with our understanding if we grow in faith. Praise the Lord. Because the Word of God will bring that to you. Amen. Those of you that are sticking with your Bible chart, thank you. Those of you that are reading your Bible again through this year, thank you. And the reason I say that is because it came to me just a little while ago when I glanced the chart that those that are continuing to read their Bible will gain great confidence because the more you read it, the more you receive it. The more you receive it, the more you understand it. And the more you understand it, the greater your confidence is in sharing the Word of God with others. You won't be shy. You won't be timid. You won't lay back. You won't sit down. You won't let the world just pass you by and not even know what's going on. But you'll be among them because the Word of God has built such confidence in you. It's proven itself over and over. And you've gotten so many new nuggets through the years until the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because the Lord's going to pop it back into your mind because you've already fed it to your spirit. But if we don't feed it to our spirit, it's not going to be in there. Excuse me. Amen. So we study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Hallelujah. We are not ashamed of the Word, are we? How many holes I got, but that one went down the wrong one. Mercy. Praise God. Amen. Though inexplainable by us, there's an abiding comprehension of the things of God. We don't even know how. How many of you have ever been in a position where somebody asked you something, you said something, and you said something like, oh, I'm pretty sure the Word of God stands on this and says this, and then only to go back and to hear the preacher preach it from the Word of God just like you said it, or to go back and read it, and there you've read it again just like you said it, and you don't know where in the world it came from. That's because you tagged into it. And then it tagged into you. What we've got to comprehend about the Word and understanding, you will understand more with the Word, because the Word is a living Word. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is not just a book. It is not just stories. It is a living organism. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So we're taking in God when we take in the Word, and God is very much alive. Amen. So you can read books about the Bible, articles referring to preaching, and listen to CDs and all of that good stuff. But listen, the Word of God is Word that is living. It's alive. It's an organism. And the more you read it, the more you take in, and the more it grows, and the more understanding, and then confidence comes. And you become something that you've never been before because you've got great confidence in the Word. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Somebody asked you, they say, where'd the world come from? You just tell them God made it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke it into existence. Well, I don't believe that. And you just look at them and say, tough, he did. Because we have faith that he did. You don't have to prove God to anybody. He'll do that if they come to him. Right? Praise the Lord. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Amen. And then let me give you a couple more here tonight. And then there's sanctification. Praise God. There is sanctification, a complete cleansing. True sanctification is acquired when we're born again. This state of purification, holiness, and consecration is retained in our lives through faith. Other factors are involved, but faith remains the foundation upon which they all stand. Amen. None of this will ever crumble if we continue to have faith. Acts 26:18. The Bible says that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified by faith. Praise the Lord. And then Acts 15:9, the Bible challenges us to purify our hearts by what? By faith. Amen. So another little nugget that comes along with great faith is purification, and then justification. Amen. I thank the Lord for grace. There's mercy, and that's when God forgives me my sins. Then there's grace, when God looks at me as if I never sinned before ever. That's amazing. Grace. Grace is amazing. Amen. And so there's justification. When grace comes by faith, then we're justified with God. We've been made pure. Hallelujah. It's another plus of being born again, that of being declared just, set apart, innocent, holy, righteous in the eyes of God. This blessed state is achieved and maintained through faith in God. Got time for a couple more scriptures? Romans 5:1. Again, how are we justified? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember, but he has chosen not to. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, Amen. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. It's by faith. And so, and then Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Praise God. Amen. The law is made for the lawless. Those that have been redeemed by faith, they need no law because they have no intentions of breaking it. The Bible even says against such there is no law. Amen. Amen. Look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It brought us to Christ. It has delivered us to Him that we might be justified by faith. All of those cows and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons and all of that stuff, their blood was not as pure as the blood of our Savior. They just lobbed us over another year after year after year after year until that which is perfect has come. And now we are justified by faith in Him, His blood. Right? Praise God. Let's stand together. In other words, we obey the law of our land, especially because we can suffer the fine. Anybody go over the speed limit? Amen. I'm just telling you, we can get into trouble if we suffer the law of the land, and then we answer to the law of the land. But when we disobey Christ, we answer to Jesus Christ for disobeying Him. But if we obey Him by faith, then against that there is no law. You can have just as much glory, just as much faith, just as much all these things like victory and sanctification and healings and guidance, direction, understanding, wisdom. We can go on and on tonight. Amen. Because there's so many things we can have from God by, and everybody shout, faith. So let's begin, and for many of us, let's continue to grow our faith and our trust in God. Because that's exactly what faith is. It's trust in God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to bless every individual, every heart that's in the house. By your divine spirit, we pray the prayer of faith. Just like we prayed for a lady today in Kernersville Hospital, rebuked her cancer. Lord, just like we prayed for the man this morning at 6 o'clock in Moses Cone Hospital in Greensboro to make it through open heart surgery. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would endow our faith here tonight and that you would let the anointing break the yoke and the bondage of sin, sickness and disease and all manner of doubt, fear and trembling, that we may become the vessels of honor that you desire us to be. And everybody shout amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for being in the house of God tonight. Praise the Lord.